A Western company makes the first big energy deal with Iran since sanctions were lifted. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Good morning. It is, of course, Election Day in America, but we are starting with a big story overseas. The French oil company Total is signing a $6 billion deal to develop natural gas fields with Iran in the Persian Gulf. It's partnering with a Chinese state company to do that, and it's the first deal of this kind since sanctions were lifted. I'm joined now by the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Lizzie.
How significant is this deal?
It's very important. I mean, first of all, it's the first really major foreign investment in the gas industry to go ahead in Iran since the sanctions were lifted earlier this year. It's worth remembering that Iran has one of, by some measures, the second largest gas reserves on the planet. Sanctions have meant that Iran's gas industry, even more than its oil industry, has been held back, and they have simply been unable to develop themselves. They are not major players, but it's conceivable that they could become that in the future.
You know, Total is obviously a French company, but there are still a lot of restrictions on U.S. companies doing business in Iran. Do you think that we will likely see American companies try to move into this oil and gas space?
It's certainly a possibility, isn't it? I mean, it's because of the sheer scale of the reserves and the untapped potential that Iran has to be an exporter there. Are obvious attractions, but I have heard some suggestion that some in the American oil industry are looking a little bit askance at the in terms of just how big the opportunities really are, suggesting, for example, that there is still an awful lot more that could be done on your own turf by way of exporting shale gas more effectively.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Lizzie.
Now let's do the numbers. Overseas markets have been pretty quiet this morning as they wait on Americans to vote. Asian markets were mixed. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. By pretty much any measure, the Federal Reserve does not look like America. There are no African-American or Latino regional Fed bank presidents, but now the current president of the Atlanta Fed is stepping down, and some people see an opportunity for change. WABE's Stephanie Stokes reports.
One of the things the Fed monitors as a sign of economic health is the jobless rate. And while it's improved a lot over the last decade, some, like Formosa Williams, are still struggling.
At this point, I don't know what to do.
She's outside an Atlanta unemployment office. She can't find stable work.
The only jobs that really seem to be hiring are like fast food, and there's no way I'm going to go back to that.
Williams and other black workers face an unemployment rate double the one for whites. But Congressman David Scott worries their stories aren't always on the Fed's radar.
Unless you have a voice at that table that has gone through the experience of being an African American, you're missing so much.
The Georgia Democrat is one of several lawmakers and activists calling for the Fed's first black president to lead the regional bank in Atlanta. That, Scott says, would ensure black workers got due attention at the nation's bank.
The Fed is the nerve center of our entire economic system, and nobody is suffering from an economic depression as the African American community.
But while economists may agree diversity is good, they aren't sure how it translates into policy.
I think you have to start out with the recognition that our Federal Reserve officials, they have really one tool, and that's interest rates. And that tool is a very blunt instrument.
Tim Dewey is an economics professor at the University of Oregon. He runs a blog called FedWatch. He says that tool affects the broader economy at the macro level.
And the problems that we're facing in black communities are often at the more narrow microeconomic level. The Federal Reserve is not going to be a silver bullet to these issues.
A group of business leaders from around the South are heading the search for the next Atlanta Fed president. They say they're looking for the best person, and they'll seek out a diverse pool of candidates. In Atlanta, I'm Stephanie Stokes for Marketplace.
And while it may not seem possible after this lengthy presidential elections, Americans will be finished voting in a matter of hours. And if you can't wait that long, you can always just watch sports. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports that tonight, that's actually a great deal.
In this election year, both Democrats and Republicans have come out swinging. One of the bigger blows may have been to the ratings of live sports. Lee Burke is CEO of LHB Sports Entertainment and Media.
Definitely when NFL Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football have gone up against the debates have dented ratings for both.
Tonight could top it, but that could be good for ticket hounds. Chris Leiden is with SeatGeek. He says it's a great chance to snag seats at a sweet price. $3 for a Memphis Grizzlies game, $12 to see the Nets versus Timberwolves.
Most of these games you can get in for less than $20, which is, you know, a great way to spend election night, if you ask me.
But is it really the election emptying seats?
It's tough to tell if it's specifically because of the election or if it's just because it's a Tuesday in November, which typically is when prices are probably the cheapest for NBA and NHL games anyway.
As for him, Leiden says he'll be at home watching the election results on two TVs. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Toblerone has announced that its chocolate bars in the United Kingdom will be about 10% smaller now. That's because of a weak pound after the Brexit vote, plus higher prices for cocoa and butter. Basically, the gaps between those little chocolate triangles will be bigger in the UK. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.